seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And we will venture to read as our text verses 10 to 13. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and reading verses 10 to 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, what high language we have here, but we think of the seasons that come regularly according to the promise of God after the flood to Noah, that there should be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat should not cease. So we find in the Word of God there are often these comparisons with nature as it is known, or with providence, and there is so with grace. And there are seasons. We come now to the autumn. Coming to the autumn, there is the harvest season, the time of blessing. And we find here in this word, the spiritual season. We find here the winter, the rain, and so on. And when we come, say, to winter, it is very hard to think upon summer. Likewise, it is when it is summertime, it is very hard to think of what it must be like in the winter. And some of us can remember some very hard winters. I can remember I think it was 1940, 1941, a very hard winter. And 1946, 47. It was a very hard winter, and I think we've had in 1962, was it, 63, a very hard winter. Now, dear friends, if we live to remember these seasons naturally, the winters, we can remember them. We can remember them for their severity. Likewise, it may be with the summer. There may be those summers that you can remember, those holidays that you had when there was that lovely sunshine and warmth. And what a difference the summer makes. And so it is in the spiritual things with the children of God. I know one of our hymns says, I think, 'tis winter all the time with me. And likewise, as naturally we may remember the severe winters or the dry summers, so the child of God, as the Spirit leads them and is their remembrancer, so they can remember the dark days, the cold days, the winter seasons, the trials, the temptations, the gloominess, the darkness, the spiritual need, the fears that they had to pass through. Maybe, spiritually speaking, there are some here who are passing through this. And as naturally speaking, you would remember the natural winters and summers, or the natural winters. And so, there will be the remembrance of those dark days. Perhaps you never thought you'd ever live to see the summer, and never live to see the spring. And certainly in this text, perhaps you never thought you'd be able to speak this word as being of your own. Oh, what a wonderful thing this word is, friends. Oh, how the soul would long for that day when they can say their text, and when they can hear their beloved speak, because the beloved here is the Lord Jesus. And of course we have here, represented here, the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And it is true what has been said by some, that it is difficult to differentiate, to know who is speaking, whether it is the beloved or whether it's the church. But does that not seem to speak of mutual love between Christ and his church? Now, there may be some here who may feel that they cannot use this speech as a beloved or the beloved. But, dear friends, may there be this thought, this simple thought. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love his people? Do you love the gospel? Do you love the truth? Oh, if you love the truth, if you love the gospel, if you love the Lord's people, whoever they may be, and we're all different, then in a sense you love God. Have you been in that 116th Psalm? Can you say with the psalmist, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Would you be able to come and speak of what the Lord had done, as we have in that 116th Psalm? Would you be able to speak of what the Lord had done as we come into Psalm 66? Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Do you love the Lord? We read, we love him because he first loved us. And Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He told us how wonderful God's love is. John, in his epistles, particularly, he speaks of God's love, the love of Jesus. Here was the disciple who leaned his head on Jesus' breast. He had sweet, close communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Larger communion let me have with thee, blessed object of my love. Oh, friends, how far are we off to die for that close communion? How our love has waned. How our love grows cold, but not God's love. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. In that 13th chapter of John, he demonstrated that love. He washed the disciples' feet and so on. And said, was it to Peter? What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. All that winter, that you may be in, poor soul. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And so the Spirit can be our remembrancer. As we have in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to see what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. As we tried to speak from that this morning, as whether you would keep his commandments. Yea, they which have continued with me in my temptations. It's a time of testing. You know, dear friends, true love is tested. It's tested. As it is tested in a natural way, so it is tested in a spiritual way. God tests his people. He proves that love. And here the church proves his love. Oh, may we look back and see God's love. See his mercy. See his forbearance. And perhaps, as we have here, as I've already mentioned, remember those cold winters. Those harsh winters. The frost. And frost is something that is very needful, but frost is not pleasant on a cold morning, is it? And you have to go out to the car and clean all the ice off the windows and have to wrap up. But you know, that frost is so needful, naturally speaking, to break down the clods. All these clods, these hard hearts that we have, friends. You know, in this area, there's a lot of clay. The potter's next door was where they made from clay. Yeah, they formed the earthenware out of clay next door here. I remember, I know it's only a thought, I must not stay here. I remember when the horse used to go round in a circle with a wooden pole and a centre part, and it was cutting out the clay. Much like our hearts, aren't they? Oh, you would not have it, dear friend, that your heart would be as cold as clay. Oh, when you know something of the love of Christ in your soul, you never thought your heart would be as cold as clay and hard. You know, man is hard-hearted, isn't he? By nature. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to soften us. To come down as rain upon the mown grass, to distill as the dew upon us, to soften our cold hearts. I don't know how it is, perhaps with you, Sometimes you come to the house of God and you've not felt any feeling at all. So different perhaps when the days, early days were, you couldn't wait for service. And then perhaps in the middle of the service or sometimes just a word is dropped in and immediately your heart is softened. Your heart is softened. Well, that is the work, dear friends, of the Holy Spirit. He can soften hard hearts. He can also harden a man's heart, you know. Oh, he can. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. But oh, if we have that grace, that desire, he can soften our hard hearts. But we have then this beautiful word. It was the voice of the beloved. It was the voice of the Lord. And now, dear friends, the child of God recognizes God's voice. What a solemn was it was that when Adam heard the voice of God, "Where art thou?" And he hid himself. He said, "I have heard thy voice and I was afraid." We said recently that, you know, fear entered, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and there was no fear in the Garden of Eden. But when Satan came in, that serpent came in, you see, dear friends, there was fear. And that we have all the fear nots in the Word of God for those that fear. Fear not, I am with thee. I will help thee, strengthen thee, uphold thee. Uphold thee. God's people need such promises as that. They need him to strengthen them, to hold them up, to help them, to be with them in their many fears. For creatures of fear, we go along, and sometimes fear where no fear is. Oh, how I look back over my life and think, why did I fear? Well, dear friends, fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. But perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love. I've often thought of that and felt almost ashamed of myself. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Where there is fear, there is torment. Why do I fear? But I did feel this, that you know how it seems to set forth heaven. Perfect love casteth out fear. In heaven it is perfect love casting out fear. No fear, no winter. So we have this beautiful word. One of the songs of Solomon, I think, I understand that Solomon, I think, wrote well over 1,000 songs. But this is the one that is in God's word, that word of God, and it is for a purpose. It is for the church of God. That, oh, what a word it is. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, addressing a sinner, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And yet, he says, my fair one, and come away. My love, rise up. I think it was it not in the third verse, the third chapter we read, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber for her that conceived me. Or does it not seem to set forth different? I brought him into the church, my mother's house. We read of mothers in Israel, the old days of the mothers in Israel. And there are natural mothers, you see, that pray for their children. It seemed to come to me, I don't know why, on the past evening, the few words in the latter part or the last of the 31st chapter of Proverbs. I just very briefly mentioned this. And it was the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Is it not for kings, O Lemuel? Is it not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink? Or it is not for kings to drink wine, or princes to strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment, or any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. So King Lemuel had a godly mother. And some of you children, you may have a godly mother. I hope you have. And some of us have had godly mothers, godly fathers. And this word was for Lemuel as the king, not to pervert judgment, but to give strong drink to him who is ready to perish. Wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So it was good advice, godly advice to King Lemuel, or that which his mother taught him. Now, dear friends, some of you have had godly mothers. And what do they teach you? I know, and I just speak personally, it just comes to me very personally. I lived in Lower Horse Bridge, and I was sitting up in the front bedroom with my mother, and looking out, there was a man who was always drunk. He lived up the Dicker, farther up. He was always drunk. Sadly, towards the end of his life, he was a pitiful figure. My dear mum said to me, she said, my son, I hope you'll never be like that. Now that's one thing, friends, I've never drunk. No, I've never been a drinker. Now I may have committed other sins, certainly, but I've never been a drinker. But I should never forget my dear mother saying that. It seems here that King Lemuel had a godly influence. He was to be a good king. He was to give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Of course, it's the gospel, isn't it? It's the gospel. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are of heavy hearts. Oh, the heavy hearts, the sorrows, the fears of the future. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Well, dear friends, you know this is what the text is all about. Let him know his misery no more. Ah, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, how we are drawn so much to the things of time and sense, dear friends, I know there are lawful things, but what about the unlawful things? What about the idols that draw us away? And perhaps you remember then a godly mother or godly father or whatever who gave you some advice. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from these things. Be not drawn to these things, dear children and older people. I speak to myself. It's what Christ has said, not what man has said. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. That trial, that cutting trial, that sorrow, that bitter cup, those valleys that you pass through, is past, it's gone. Now we have a pleasant scene here, dear friends. Oh, how beautiful flowers are, aren't they? Oh, how it speaks of God's wonderful providence, his skill in the beautiful flowers. And how they respond to the sun. There's some flowers that open out in the sun and they close themselves at night. But you know, the flowers appear on the earth. There's something beautiful. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that publish peace, that brings good tidings. There's nothing more beautiful than the gospel, friends. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. You've heard the dawn chorus, some of you. Perhaps we don't get up early enough to hear the dawn chorus nowadays, but there have been when you heard the dawn chorus. The singing of birds, have you ever heard a sing, a bird singing? Maybe a blackbird, ever a nightingale singing? Did you ever think you'd sing again? Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Oh, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Oh, how the saints sing in heaven. The time of the singing of birds is come. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sing. I like good singing. And I'm sure I know some of you love good singing here. But to be able to sing of what the Lord has done. I think there's a word in Isaiah's prophecy, I think it is, in the 12th chapter. A short chapter. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Why? Because in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou covetest me. This anger would be chastising or passing through God's displeasure, the winter. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove, is heard in our land. It all represents, dear friends, God's providence, his kindness to simple men. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Well, the time will come, dear friends, and who shall say how nigh, as we tried, I hope, to speak this morning of the time when we should be called from this time stay. I was thinking when we had a hymn, of course, the minister chooses a hymn, and we have that hymn on the board there. Now, I did think of this hymn, 345, and it was my Auntie Doris Hickman, I think, who came to the end of her life, and I think she had it at her funeral, that she had this hymn, 345, my soul with joy attend while Jesus silence breaks. No angel's harp, not such music yields as what my shepherd speaks. I freely feed them now with tokens of my love, but richer pastures I prepare and sweeter streams above. Unnumbered years of bliss I to my sheep will give, and while my throne unshaken stands, shall all my chosen live. This tried almighty hand is raised for their defence. Where is the power can reach them there, or what can force them thence? Enough, enough, my gracious Lord. Let faith triumphant cry. My heart can on this promise live, can on this promise die. I believe that was her hymn that she had. Oh, when the Lord comes, and who can say how nigh? What a blessing it would be. What a difference it is from that which we hear of the condemnation of the wicked. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here we have the blessed of the Lord, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and so on. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. As the sinner is seen in Christ, the sinner is seen in the perfection of Christ, the perfection of beauty, the righteousness of Christ. Christ has wrought that righteousness for his dear people while he was here on earth. He paid the penalty due to their sins. He met the demands of the holy law of God. Now justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law now has no power over them. I remember many years ago, I was preaching at that little chapel in East Grinstead, which is now closed, which sadly a number of our chapels are now closed. And I went to Skanes Hill in the afternoon, and it was Easter time, Easter Sunday, I think. And they had this hymn 488. It speaks so much of mercy. Ye guilty souls that groan and grieve, hear the glad tidings, hear and live. God's righteous law is satisfied, and justice now is on your side. Justice on your side. Instead of justice against, because of our sin, justice now is on your side. Your surety, thus released by God, pleads the rich ransom of his blood. No new demand, no bar remains, but mercy now, triumphant reign. Justice now is on your side. What a change, what an amazing change. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ has obeyed perfectly the whole law. Thus his people are justified. This is justification. As he brings his church out of this winter, out of this darkness, and brings them to himself and will bring them to glory. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, the voice of the turtle, turtle dove, is heard in our land. Then we have the fruits. You see, the winter time, dear friends, is a time of stripping, isn't it? You see the trees all stripped, or the person in the orchard cutting back, pruning those branches. So much wood, there's so much wood, needs to be cut back. So much of self needs to be cut back. And that tree that is barren and bare, now as the spring comes, the blossom and the fruit, the provision for man and beast, the fig tree putteth forth her green fig. You see, in the parts where the Lord Jesus was, there were the figs, the fig tree, and there were the vines with the tender grape. Give a good smell. Oh, the tender grape. When the tender fear of God is in the soul of a sinner. Our friends, as you go along in life's journey, you seem to lose that tenderness. You realize that you have a hard heart. But here is God's provision. God's provision. And it's heaven, friends. It speaks of heaven. When the Lord calls away his dear people from this time state. And it will be so with us each. And who can say how nigh when he will call us to himself. They give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You know, dear friends, we need to come away from so many things. First of all, we need to come away from ourselves. All self is such a hindrance. Self is such a burden. We need to come away from ourselves. Their independence. Their hardness of heart, their unbelief. And then, of course, dear friends, there is the need of weaning. The weaning from some of the things of this life. God weans his people. They are prepared people for a prepared place. God weans his people. They are to come away. And sometimes, you know, as we go back to Kingly Mule and so on, the mother, the godly mother or the godly father speaking, and by their fruits you should know them, by their very life they display that grace perhaps, you know, some would say, well, my mother would not like me to do that. My father would not like me to do that. It has a great influence, friends, doesn't it? But the greater influence, of course, is the Holy Ghost. The influence of the Spirit, the sacred influence, the unction of His love. Oh, how we need to be weaned. It's a lonely path. You know, dear friends, I speak rightly and I speak lovingly. It's a good, wonderful thing to have a loving husband or wife or loving family, and it's a very wonderful thing. But you know, dear friends, it is decreed that most must walk the darkest paths of life. And then there is the loneliness of widowhood. And when all the families are taken home and one is left, you can't discuss anything about the family because there's no one to speak about. Old age can be a very sad thing when the contemporaries are taken. But this is how the Lord draws His people. He draws them to Himself, and He takes them to Himself. And I verily believe, dear friends, this is a word that speaks of God taking His people to Himself. But there's one word I just want to mention before we close, and it is this: sanctification. Is it Peter, one of the apostles, speak to those who are sanctified? Sanctification. Isn't it? And see how the Lord's mercy has been with you and helped you and guided you and delivered you and brought you out of those things that were hard. Turn your winter to summer. Sanctification. Oh, how we need the Lord to sanctify us. And of course, sanctification also means separation. It means holiness. Well, I've hardly touched this word really, but I believe it is a word that God does give to His dear people, especially when He takes them home to Himself. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen.